Kof Hei Kislev, first day Hanukkah, Monday the 23rd of December. Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, what role did the Kahuna play in Hanukkah? This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chela Ne'er Yair. That's Dudi.
Hanukkah, everyone. So nice to see people coming early on Hanukkah. That means they davened already challah and already had an early morning. So kol hakavod. There's a very, very famous Ramban in this week about Hanukkah. Anybody knows what I'm referring to? The most famous Ramban about Hanukkah. Where?
And
Baal Oisla, exactly. Over there the Ramban says, based on a Megillah Sturm that he found, of Rabbeinu Nissim. So let's go back to the basics. The Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Baal Oisla, that why is this Parsha juxtaposed to Korban HaNissim? So says Rashi that Aaron HaKohen was upset that he did not participate, not him and not his Shevet, in the Chanukas HaNissim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Shelcha Gdola Mishelahem, what you're doing is greater, Shata Madliku Mitibet HaNeres, that you are lighting the candles. But Pashup Shat means the candles of the Migdash. That's what the Pashup Shat means. The Ramban asks on that, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu comfort him with that role that he plays? He plays many other roles. And if you want to say that what he does in Yom Kippur and so on, and if you're going to say that appease him through something that he did voluntarily, like the Nisim was voluntarily, well again, the Neris is not voluntarily. It's mandatory as well. So therefore, says the Ramban, a tremendous chiddush, that it's not referring to the lining of the candles, but rather it's referring to the lining of the candles of Hanukkah, the Hanukkah that we lit last night. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to appease Aaron HaKohen with, by saying that it will be done through the Chashmonaim. Chashmonaim are Kohanim, and your tribe will be the one that will trigger about Hanukkah, and that's the Nichum Avinu, because that's definitely not Nichum Avinu Chasam, but the Nichum for Aaron HaKohen, that his kuna will take something which is not mandatory, whether there'll be Moisa Nefesh, and bring a Geula to Am Yisrael throughout the Golus. That's what the Ramban says. I would like to ask a basic question here. It really starts with Rashi. Korban HaNissim, as we mentioned, is Korban Nedava. Whoever wanted to join, could join. Aaron HaKohen, why did you join? No one stopped you. In fact, we even know who's the one who initiated the idea of Korban HaNissim. What's his name? Okay, not everybody together. What's his name? Netanel ben Tzor. Netanel ben Tzor, Nasi Yisachar, says Rashi. So he's the one. So apparently what probably happened there, that Netanel ben Tzor had this idea, let's be a Korban HaNissim, and he probably approached all the other Nissim. I would imagine he also approached Aaron HaKohen. And Aaron HaKohen, for reasons that he understood for himself, said, no, I don't want to join. I can imagine why. There were a lot of things in that Korban HaNissim that were Hiro's show, like the Ramban himself says. It's a Keteris Bab and a Dava. It's all kinds of Chidushim. So, Aaron, you had a chance to join. But you didn't. So what are you upset about?
Well,
that
between Ephraim and
Manasseh,
so Levi is out.
No. So why is he upset? He says, I'm upset, I'm not part of it. Obviously, he could have been part of it. So, if you so much want to join. If it would have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who gave the order and said, bring a Korban, and he excluded Aaron HaKohen, okay, I understand why he's upset. But the initiative started within the scene. And the Nisim are the ones who took upon themselves this initiative voluntarily. So Aaron HaKohen, for reasons, I'm sure he's the brisker. You know, the briskers are Shevet Levi. So Aaron HaKohen is probably the first brisker in the world. He said, nay, I don't want to join. All kinds of things that were never done before. So he decided not to join. So Oy Bazei, what is he upset about? What? We'll get to it in a minute. Very good. Okay, I'll explain in a minute. So that's question number one. Okay, Abuizad. Question number two. What is it? Let's, in these things, like the Gemara always tells us, Everything is be'etzem. Why is Chanukah and Nisim something that appeases him? Is it just, you know, you didn't get the chocolate bar here, so you'll get a sweet there? You know, with children you do that. You miss on the chocolate bar there, you'll get an ice cream here. That's how it works. But with these inyanim, it works more intrinsically. Aaron HaKohen missed in the Korban HaNisim. So, but you're going to get Chanukah instead. Is it Be'etzem instead? You could say Chanukah, Chanukah, Chanukah HaNisim, Chanukah over here. But maybe there's something more here that really appeases Aaron HaKohen. Furthermore, the Ramban says that Aaron HaKohen was appeased with Birkas Kohanim, which is mentioned prior to Korban HaNisim, meaning it's flagged, the Birkas Kohanim and the Neris. Those are the two things which appeased Aaron HaKohen for the sadness that he had by missing out on Chanukah HaNisim. What is Birkas Kohanim? How does that rectify what happened? So again, you could say, you miss here, you get there. But the Ramban taught us that everything in these inyanim is be'etzem. What does be'etzem mean? What? Intrinsic. Intrinsic. It's not stam. Here you miss there, there you get there. So Birkas Kohanim and the Chanukah that we have is intrinsically making up to Aaron HaKohen what he missed out on Chanukah HaNisim.
What
did
the
Chum
have?
What? I'm sorry?
No,
but the Chashmonim were the ones who brought it about. So the Kalif Mishigata. Toda Shigata, but the Kalif Mishigata. Okay, what are we saying? Elamai Chela, there's a Gewaltige thing. There's really something, how would Shlomo Kaplan say? Holy of Holies, right? There's something Holy of Holies here. Let's start to understand this Nakuda. One of the highlights that I had in my life was once I said to Torah to Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, which he very much liked. I told him other times which he did not like, so don't worry. That happened more often. But I told him once at Bar Torah that he mamish exploded like a volcano. And it was the following. He asked the question of Pachad Yitzchak. That says, we say in Al-Anisim, Kesha'avda Malchus Yavon HaRasha, Al-Amcha Yisrael, what are the next two words? Lashkicham Teresecha, U'lahaviram Yichuk Yerotzenecha. How do they cause us Lashkicham Teresecha? How do you make someone forget something? They don't allow us to learn Torah. And the Rambam says, Kol mi she'einu loymed shochach. Whenever you step learning, you start forgetting. They close the Batei Medrash, and they don't allow us to learn Torah. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn Torah. So is that all included in Lahavir Mechuk Yetzonecha? Why is there a need to single out Lashkicham Teresecha? It's a prat in a klal. Isn't it better just to say the klal? Kesha'avdo Malchus Yavon HaRosh Al Amcha Yisrael, Lahavirah Mechuk Yetzonecha. They wanted us to transgress the rules of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Shabbos, Bris Milah, Rosh Chodesh, and you can throw in that also Torah. Why is Torah singled out? That's what Rav Huna Zatzal asks in the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah. So I told him, I was then 21 or 23 years old, 21. And I said, I think you have an answer to the Rosh Hashiva's Kasha. He said, yeah. I told him, it's Gedua, and this is a point I want to explain soon, that the war of the Yevonim was mainly against Torah Shebaal Peh. We'll prove it soon. They had a special war, not against Torah Shebiksav, rather Torah Shebaal Peh. Why did they have such a war against Torah Shebaal Peh? Well, I'll explain soon. And how do we know that? So I'll tell you already now how we know it. First of all, it's written everywhere that they had a special war against Torah Shebaal Peh. How do you see it? Well, the Gemara, for example, the Gemara asks on Ner Chanukah, which bracha do you make? Says the Gemara, Asher kidishanu mitzovet tzivanu lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Ask the Gemara, v'heichan tzivanu? It's a rabbinical mitzvah, so where does Kadosh Baruch Hu command us to do it? Since it says in the Torah. Tefillin, it says in the Torah. Where does it say in the Torah Chanukah? It doesn't say. So how could you say in a rabbinical mitzvah, Asher kidishanu mitzovet tzivanu? A very basic question. And says the Gemara, no, whatever the Ruch HaKam is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to listen, Shal Abicha Ve'agetcha, Lo Tasur Yaminu Smol, we learn from a variety of two psukim. The obvious question is, this question the Gemara could have asked on any mitzvah of the Rabbanan, and a lot of them came earlier, before Hanukkah. Megillah, Purim was before Hanukkah. Netilas Yadayim, Shlomo HaMelech was Metaken. There's many rabbinical mitzvahs which preceded Hanukkah. How can the Gemara didn't decide to have this question and answer on mitzvahs the Rabbanan which preceded Hanukkah? Why did you wait for Hanukkah? This is just showing, because Hanukkah, that's the topic. Yes, it's applicable to all mitzvahs to Rabbanan. But in Hanukkah, I'm going to gain another issue. If when Rav Ashi and Ravina edited the Gemara, they decided that this conversation should be said in context of Ner Hanukkah. Because it brings out also what Hanukkah is all about. Hanukkah is about the koach of Torah Sheval Peh and the koach of the Chachamim to Mechavel, to Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one raya. Another raya that you see it is the Medrash of Chuma and also Ois Kavtes. I heard this from Rav Goldwich Zatzal. I saw Rav Goldwich Zatzal brings it in a sefer. It's a fascinating Medrash of Chuma, also Ois Kavtes. I saw it afterwards quoted elsewhere as well. That it says, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, if you leave over a little bit of oil on the first night of Hanukkah, could you reuse the oil for the next night? So the Medrash says, you should add a little fresh oil, and yes. The same thing, the second, third, fourth, and so on. Right? You leave all the... what happens if the eighth day there was something left over? So then you got to burn it because it's a mitzvah. And on the very same line, after finishing this halachic debate regarding Hanukkah, what do you do with the leftover oil? Al yomar adam. A person should not say, Eini shomea l'skenim. I'm not listening to the rabbis. She'ena min ha-tera. It's not written in the Torah. Today, sometimes you hear it. Why do I have to listen to the rabbis? I'll do what it's written in the Pentateuch. Why the rabbis? You know, those with the beards. Why do I have to listen to them? Says the Medrash, Al yomar adam. A person should not say, I'm not listening to the rabbis. I'm only listening to what's written. You're not allowed to say that. Why? Because whatever they say, I agree to. What's the raya? The gewaltige raya that the Medrash brings? From Yaakov Avinu. Here Yaakov Avinu is functioning as a chacham. And what did he do? Shikil Yodav, he said Ephraim should be before Menashe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I agree to what he said. Where do you see? In the Chanukah and the same that we're going to read this week. That Ephraim is a day before Menashe. So that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking. Here Yaakov Avinu is functioning as a chacham. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees. So that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to what the rabbis say. But again, it was said regarding the halacha of Hanukkah. So these are two open riots in Torah Shabbat, and the enigma that we have, that Hanukkah is all about the emunah in Chachamim and the emunah in Chazal. In the Sifri Sod, Rabbi Yisai, in the more primus dikasram, this is written over and over and over, everywhere. But this is two riots you could bring from the Torah Shabbat, from the nigla part. You know, once I heard from Moshe Shapiro, that's how, that a chassid went over to his Rebbe at the age of 40, 50 years old. He wasn't such a great Talmid Chacham. And he told him, Rebbe, I want to learn now Nistar. I want to learn now something, the hidden part. So the Rebbe told him, for you, Bob Metzia is also Nistar. Bob Metzia is also Nistar. Okay, anyway, I'll go upon him. So Rabbi said, so Chanukah is about Torah Shabbat. I told Rav Hutnitz, that's all the following. The concept of shikha, to forget, is only pertaining to something which is not written. If it's written, you can't forget, it's there. I got a Gemara to prove it. The Gemara with Yana HaMelech and the Gemara in Kiddush and Daf Samach Vav, Amun Aleph says, the Yana HaMelech, he had a terrible advisor, the Gemara mentions his name, not only Beremiza like you spoke about before, Eliezer ben Puria is his name, and the Gemara says that he came to Yana HaMelech and said, the rabbis are not listening to you, they're not respecting you, you should kill them. So Yana HaMelech said, if I kill all the rabbis, Torah Mateyola, what's it going to do with Torah? Says Rashi, Shema Tishtokach. Answered this terrible advisor, Torah Munachas B'Keren Zabis. The Torah is written. Whoever wants to see it can see it. You don't need rabbis. It's a book. It's written. And says Rashi, V'lo Tishtokach. It won't be forgotten. Says the Gemara, Miyati Zakab Apikosus. The mere fact that Yana HaMelech agreed to this logic is called Kfira. Because he should have replied, Ha Teinach Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav is written. Torah Shebal Pemai. So it's explicitly in this Gemara that forgetting is not applicable to Torah Shebaktav because it's written. If you forget, take the, open the book and see. It's referring to Torah Shebaktav. It's also another Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, that you see that Shikha is only pretending Torah Shebaal Peh. It makes sense, because it's not in front of you. Like the Maharal says in the beginning of Parshas Noach, you only say Zichron Levracha on someone who died. Why can I say the following? He shall live till 120, and his memory should be blessed. It sounds funny, why can't you say it? Says the Maharal, as long as a person's alive, he's not a memory. He's here. Lida, once a person's not here. So then you have to remember him. May his memory be blessed. But if he's alive and well, he's not a memory. He's here. So, Shikha, Zikaron, is only on Torah Shebaal Peh. So we're going to add a Chazal, which I don't know where it is. Yeah, Dvorim HaKsuvim, Kipsuvim Dami. If it's written, it's here. Fine. That's what he said. Now, since the Yevonim had it, since the Yevonim had a special war against Torah Shebaal Peh, as Yadua, so you know how come it's being singled out? Because by the Yevonim itself it was singled out. They had a specific war against Torah Shebaal Peh in addition to other mitzvahs. But first I'll give you a painful example. The following? The Nazis, Yimach Shemam B'Zichram, had a war against the Jews and the whole world. Which is basically true. So someone may ask, why are you singling out the Jews? They had a war against the whole world, that includes also the Jews. The answer is no, but they had a specific war against Jews. And the whole world. But they singled out the Yidden. So in Mele, if I want to describe in the most accurate way what they did, I got to single out the Jews, because that's how it was by them. Similarly, by Yavan, they had a war against Am Yisrael and against Torah and Mitzvahs. But they had a very specific war against what? Torah Shebaal Peh. So since they had a war against Torah Shebaal Peh, so Lashkicham Torah Secha, Shikha, is only by Torah Shebaal Peh. Because as we proved, Shikha is only Shaykh and Torah Shebaal Peh. You don't have Shikha and Torah Shebaal Peh. So it was singled out because by the Yevonim it was singled out. That's why I told Rufan there. And we spoke in Hebrew. And he started saying, Shaina from gold! Yafed Rashta, Kevin Choymer, Zant Ibermol, say it over again. And not that he had problems understanding the first time. He was a grind. He wanted to hear it again. And you know what I learned from that? He made you feel a billion pounds. I don't have to learn for the next 2 weeks. I'm putter. I feel groovy. I feel very geschmack. He made you worth the whole PPA road. How many houses on PPA road? 130? Each one, let's say, is 2 million pounds. So how much is it? 260. Let's say, 2 million, let's say? Average? 3 million? Okay, so how much is it? 400 million pounds? More. He made you feel more. I learned from that when my Rebbe gives a real compliment to Talmud, sometimes it can carry him throughout life. Be'emes. They say Rebbe Achber used to be like that. That once Rebbe Shlomo Hyman told him a svara. Rav Shlomo Hyman told him a svara, and he told him Shlomo Hyman, the 9 months pregnancy that my mother had to suffer, and the birth and the labor that she had to go through to give birth to me, was worth it. I should come to the world to hear your svara that you just now said. That's what he told him, Shlomo Hyman. Could you imagine what that did for Shlomo Hyman? To hear from his rabbi such a kind of compliment. Okay, what we say? That's another topic of giving compliments. It's a nice thing to give compliments. Right? Let's say to give a compliment to the one who sponsors all the cakes every morning. It's a nice thing. Right? Right? To give a compliment every morning, day in, day out. It's Monsieur's Nefesh, it costs money. Call a compliment. You give compliments. What we say? So let's just come back to Nakuda. What did the Yevonim have against Torah Shebaal Peh? I mean, what does a goy care at Torah Shebaktav, Torah Shebaal Peh? I mean, what do they care? They were not against Torah Shebaktav, they were against Torah Shebaal Peh. What bothered them in Torah Shebaal Peh? So here comes the issue at stake, top of my side. Torah Shebaal Peh is really something amazing. A human being who's born in this world, a Yilud Isha, right? Like Chazal call it, with a physical brain has the ability to figure out how Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks. That's unbelievable. You're in this world, constrained in the physical world, and you can figure out something which is way and beyond the world that you live in. When Rav Moshe Feinstein has to decide if there'll be an Erev in Manhattan or not, I would like to say an Erev and go to screen, but I don't want to get into any politics. If Rav Moshe Feinstein, what is he really asking? What's Rav Moshe really asking? So of course you could say, what's the halacha? You look at the Gemara, you look at the Mishnah, you look at the Achanim. What's the halacha? There's a Goyim, there's a Chazanish, there's a Prima Godi. What's the halacha? But truly, truly, you know what Rav Moshe Feinstein's asking? What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want? We want a Mechavan L'dayt V'Shel Makom. Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want an Erev in Manhattan? Yes or no? Now, it's filtered down through the Nishonim and Achrenim that we learned. But at the end of the day, let's not lose sight. It's all about what Hashem wants. How on earth, here literally it's appropriate, how on earth can Rav Moshe Feinstein know what Hashem wants? Is he a Navi? Is he a Ben Navi? So how can you know? Teretz, because he swallowed such quantities and qualities of Torah, that he could be Chavan, Adat Yishol Mokom. That's what it means, Gdoli Yisrael. Gdoli Yisrael have this ability, of course, to commit mistakes, the humans, but they have the ability to figure out what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. But they're here, in this world. They were born here, they're going to die here. How can they figure out what Hashem wants? That's that koach that Am Yisrael has. To connect and to figure and to understand a different kind of wisdom which is not rooted in this world. I'll give an example of something which is not rooted in this world. Something that we all know about. Oh, the week, 7 days. Why is the week 7 days? Is there anything in nature which indicates that every 7 days there's a cycle? No. A month, there's the sun, the moon. Yeah. What shows that there's a week? Absolutely nothing. So why is it divided according to weeks? Do you know that in France, in the late 1800s, they wanted to make a week 10 days? It's so much easier, 10 days, in a month, there's 3 weeks. Yeah, I guess 4.5 weeks a month. They tried it, it didn't go. Why didn't it go? Because it comes from the Torah, but there's anything in the world that indicates that there should be a week 7 days. Nothing. So where does it come from? It's Torah. It has to do with the bottom 7 spheres. It has to go into Kabbalah. That's all. And the whole world does it. But just an example of something which comes from a different wisdom, which has nothing rooted in the world that we live in. Nothing. It's coming from a different sphere, a different mahalach. That's Torah. And you are a human being here, and you could connect to something which is there, that's going totally against what the Yevonim represent. Like I mentioned last night, there's 2 statements in English, which totally contradict each other. One says, what you see is what you got. What's the other one? There's a lot more than what meets the eye. Than what meets the eye. In America, you say, there's a lot more than what meets the eye. You say it here as well?
Yeah.
So, well, how do you reconcile these two? What you see is what you got.
One's tangible and one's not tangible.
But nevertheless, they contradict each other. One says what you see is what you got.
That's a physical thing. There's a lot more to it than meets the eye. It's a bit more
personal. But the first statement saying that we don't acknowledge it.
Selective.
Rabbi said, this is a contradiction. Okay, I didn't talk. But this is a contradiction. So how do you work out the contradiction? I don't know. Yavan are the ones that say, what you see is what you got. And what you don't see, it's not empirical evidence. Disregard it. Am Yisrael says, there's a lot more than what meets the eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't see him. And he's the most important thing. Life is all about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yavan are the ones which are connected, this concept of connecting to an tangible God. And Bechlau connecting to something beyond what you live with. What Aaron HaKohen was upset about, as mentioned here before, yes, Aaron HaKohen, the first Brisker, had reasons not to join Chanukah Sanisim, all based on Halacha. A lot of things which were a Chiddush, and so on and so forth. I understand. But what happened at the end of the day? Hashem agreed with the Nesim. So what was Aaron HaKohen upset about? Not that he didn't join. He had his reasons for not joining. But they were mechavet to the Amos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with them. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who dictated the order of the Nesim. He agreed with them. What hurt Aaron HaKohen? I wasn't mechavet the Da'at Shel Makom. I had a whole stickle Torah, 100 pages long, to explain why I'm not joining Korban and Nesim. But at the end of the day, what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to them, and they were mechavet the Da'at Shel Makom, and I was not mechavet the Da'at Shel Makom. That's what hurt Aaron HaKohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeased them with two other things that show that you will have the ability to mechamel ledat Hashem Makom elsewhere. You missed out lechamel ledat Hashem Makom here, but there'll be two other opportunities which are going to be lasting forever, which shows you have the ability to mechamel ledat Hashem Makom. The whole idea of Chanukah, as we mentioned, is that the Chochmah Torah Shebal Peh prevail, and shows that, and the whole idea of Torah Shebal Peh is that we could figure out and understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So that's point number one. And what does Birkas Kohanim show? Let's see if anybody can get this one. How does Birkas Kohanim show that Lecham and Adat Shel Makom? Because Rashi says on the Pasuk, Va'ani Avarchem? What? Va'ani Avarchem, what does Rashi say? Va'askim al yidei Kohanim. I'm going to agree to whatever the Kohanim say. And in Eretz Yisrael, this happens on a daily basis. On a daily basis, that Kohanim are make Birkas Kohanim. And of course, Bochum says, I agree. These are two examples of Kohanim, which are Mechaven Ledait Shel Makom. That they could connect the worlds, the physical and the spiritual, and connect it. As we pointed out already many times, the Moral in our Mitzvah says, goes through a few gematrias, and he says that Kohen's gematria, what's the gematria of Kohen? 75. What does he want to say with that? It's between the 7 and the 8. The middle way. 7.5 or 75. Meaning connecting worlds. So what role do Kohanim play in Chanukah? Like we say in the Chanukah, it goes, Aidei Kohanecha Gdoishin. We pointed out. Obviously, it's important if you pointed out it was done through Kohanim. We're trying to show and say that there's a lot more than what meets the eye.
You can also say, because in Parashat Shemot, when Aaron was the first Kohen, and
Fine. Fine. But he didn't appease him with that. He appeased him with Birkas Kohanim.
No, but the Birkas Kohanim that he was Mechamed in Parsha Shemini. So many centuries later, I'm asking what he did in Parsha Shemini.
Nice.
I think
it was 3 pesach practice. Very nice. Now, Rabbi said this idea, Chavre, and with this I want to conclude. I spoke about last night a little bit, of appreciating the tangible, or unless the not tangible is something that in my job in the Besmetrish of Esmanian, I struggle daily with. Daily. Many times, how come you're late today? Well, I had to take my sister to kindergarten. Oh, very nice. What happened today? Well, usually my sister takes her, and my sister had an appointment today. And how come your parents can't take her? No, my parents work. They make money. I'm just learning. So, of course, they come first. This happens daily. This happens kol hazman. Appreciating the tangible and less the not tangible. This is the whole time it happens. An example they always say, Maaseh Shehaya. One Sunday, a boy didn't show up. Okay, I called up the father just to ask if everything's okay. So he tells me, Rabbi Hartman, you know, when it's up and down, I understand there's a real issue here. He says, Rabbi Hartman, it's one thing. If he says, Rabbi Hartman, I notice. It means, he says, well, listen, there's a bas mitzvah for, let's say the boy's name is Moshe. There's a bas mitzvah for his sister on Thursday. I'm here to schlep benches. I think it's very appropriate, actually, ask my son to help me to schlep benches. I think it says in the Ten Commandments, Kabbalah Sabicha Basimecha. So I asked him to stay back to help me. I said, Mazel Tov, all the best, Kol Tov. Bluff. It's a big, fat bluff. I just didn't want to have a confrontation. What's the bluff? There was no sister? No, there was a sister. No bas mitzvah? No, there was a bas mitzvah. But if he would have been a lawyer with a top office, would you tell him to close the office and to come schlep benches? If he would have been a doctor, would you say close the office and come schlep benches? Hi, you need help. You hire someone for £10. There's many of them here in this part of the world. But it's learning, come home and help. This happens the whole time. If he would be making money, he wouldn't tell him close the shop and come out and schlep benches. But he's only learning. Learning, come and help schlep benches. What do you say? This happens constantly. Constantly. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum in New York, there was Shiva of Mir, Zatzal. Once there was a strike of the diggers in New York. Going, they dig. And the mason were piling up. Bizarre mess. So one of the Chevron Kaddisha called up Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, you have an army of 1,000 unemployed cheap labor. Could you please send them over to dig up the graves? He said, for sure. But first go to Wall Street. See how many people can get there. And then come to me. Don't come to me first because I'm cheap labor. Because we're learning Torah, which holds the world. Of course, there's an Indian covered on mess, fine, but don't come to us first. And what about the people on Wall Street? No, they're working. They're making money. I can't ask them to stay, to come here and help the graves. But the Yeshiva Wachim, I could. Why is this? This is Maisim Chol Yom. Maisim Chol Yom. A family, again, has a daughter who got engaged. Mazdov. Again, they need people to come schlep the benches to help for the L'chaim. Mazdov. They have two boys. One's a lawyer, one's a yeshiva bacher. Who are they going to ask first to come help schlep the benches? You have a suffix who they're going to ask first? It's a question. They're going to ask the yeshiva bacher. Why not the lawyer? He's making money.
And when they do fundraising, who's they going to ask first?
We'll get to it in a minute. Right? So meaning, what do you see? So the Nakuda is, again, it's Torah. David HaMelech said, Tovi Torah Spicha, Me'alfei Zav V'chesed. But when push comes to shove, the first thing canceled is Torah. Why? It's not tangible. The profit is not tangible. So let's cancel it. But if someone making money, £100 an hour, no. That's money. What about Torah? He'll learn later. What about working? Also work later. No, that's new money. Every hour has its money. So maybe also by Torah, every hour has its business. But I say, in my job, it happens daily. Daily, this conflict. Daily. Yes, we believe in a lot of beautiful things, but lamaisa, when push comes to shove, the tangibility wins. I'm sorry? Because the Rabban explains what the Yabanim are, that they deny anything which is not tangible. What's tangible is chashuv. Here, stand there. Here's this. But what's the last story? I'll finish with the last story. My time's up already. A last story. It's São Paulo.
What?
You have to
work.
Exactly. He's good. The guy's on the ball. The guy's on the ball. 100%. But what's the last story? This goes back 35 years ago. 35 years ago in São Paulo, my wife's from Brazil, so I used to come there often. She's from Rio, but that time I was in São Paulo. A big beer comes over to me before Milchamar and asks, you know, I'm doing Chanukah Sabayas next week. I want good mezuzahs. You know, good mezuzahs with a Sofer Yerushalayim. Could you get them for me? Because since you live in Israel. I said, I'll be happy to. How many mezuzahs do you need? 50. 50? Yeah, I have 50 doors in my house. Wow. Chamishim Sharei Bina. Good. I said, okay, I have a friend who's a Sofer. I don't know if he has 50 mezuzahs available. Maybe he has 20 and I'll get 20 from someone else. How are we going to get it here by next week? I asked him, remember, 35 years ago. He says, well, FedEx said, I'll pay for it, no problem. Okay, I'll try my best. After Milchamar, I'll call Eretz Yisrael. I'll see what I can do. He asks me before we go to Milchamar, I forgot to ask the most important question. How much do mezuzahs cost? So I said, listen, I'm not in the mezuzah business, but we ourselves did a Chanukah Sabayas just a year or two ago. Then a mezuzah, a good one, yeah, with the Yerushalayim, yeah, cost $50. That's what it was in those days. Today it's not. Today it's triple. I said, oh, $50? No, I'm not interested. I could get here in São Paulo mezuzahs for 20. Why should I pay 50? I said, fine. Listen, you approach me, I don't approach you. I get nothing out of this, fine. But something bugged me. After Marv, you already forgot probably a little bit of the conversation, I approached him, which was a little bit emes. I said, you know, my wife's an architect. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's lately into handles, door handles. Can I ask you, since you have 50 doors, where'd you get the handles from? He says, you really want to know? Yeah. They're Italian made, special. A pair costs $200. It goes according to a pair. And then I asked him, could you tell me why you're paying for handles $200 and for a mezuzah $20? Tell me. He says, why should I pay more than 20? I could get it for 20. Why should I pay more? He says, I could get you handles for $10. Why are you paying more? And Rabbi said, the answer is only one. Handles are tangible. People can see how rich I am. Inside the mezuzah, who sees? It's kosher, good enough. By the way, the backs of the mezuzah, again, will be made from silver. What's seen is important. What's inside? Who notices it? Say 20 is good enough. Anyway, boy, say, Yavan's telling us that, and we're supposed to say, yes, we have respect to whatever you see, but what you don't see is a lot more important than what you see. A mezuzah is a lot more important than a handles. I want to wish each and every one of you a Frelich Chanukah. Kol Tov, Shalom Shalom.